All right, this morning. Right then, I realized I came up here a little bit too quick. Clovis, I don't trust this laptop. You hear me? And so I bring my Bible with my text printed out just in case the devil wants to show up here. Then we'll go to the handy dandy Bible. Y'all still have these things, right? They're amazing. They're amazing. You know, I thought about it. I thought about how blessed I am as I was coming in this morning. I came a little bit early. And earlier this week, I had Gabriel Jr. by myself. If anybody ever, guys out there that's had the kids by yourself before, I had Gabriel Jr. earlier this week by myself. Karina was tied up with something. And so I only had to handle them one day. But I thought about it. Maybe last year about, or actually this year in June, late June, my wife went on a cruise and she had the nerve to go on a 5-day cruise. I said to myself, I said, when this joker get back, we're going to have to talk to her about this. 3 days we can do. We ain't going to be able to do 5 days anymore. But I had Gabriel Jr. And the interesting thing was I even brought him up here for Bible study. I had an opportunity to teach Bible study and I brought Gabriel Jr. with me. And it was amazing, I discovered that although Gabriel Jr. got to stay up late every night, although he got to sleep in daddy's bed every night, although he got to watch Fireheart about 20 times every night, although he had waffles for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, he still knew enough that his mama was his everything. I'm telling you, he asked me, he'd wake up in the morning, and soon as I wake him up, the first thing he said is, Daddy, is mommy still on a big boat? I said, yes, son, mommy's still on a big boat. Mommy not coming home yet? I said, she ain't coming home yet, son. She'll be here this weekend. And I mean, he must have asked me that about, I don't know, 10 times a day, every day. And I was doing the best I could. But right around Saturday morning, when he woke up, I was thinking to myself, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing this woman home. Gabriel Jr. woke up, and as soon as he woke up, he said, Daddy, is mommy still on a big boat? I said, son, mommy, the boat just docked. And he said, mommy not coming home yet? I said, mommy's coming home today. And later on, we heard the garage come up, and Karina just lit up. And I said, son, your mama is here. And he just said, yay! But I just wanted to take a moment to say, I am a human being. And boy, I can't make it without my wife. I thank you, baby. You mean everything to Gabriel Jr. Now, North Oaks, we are continuing in our series, A Biblical Blueprint for Unity. Has this series been helpful to anyone? Well, I got good news. Today, we are going to be closing out. We're going to close out this series, A Biblical Blueprint for Unity. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Haggai, chapter number 2, verses 1 through 9. I would ask that when you found it, that you would, if you could, stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. Part 4 and the finale of A Biblical Blueprint for Unity. I actually learned how to say that without getting tongue twisted now. Haggai chapter number 2. And I'd just like to read in your hearing while I'm going to deal with the first 9 verses. Just like to read into your hearing verses 2 and 3 of chapter number 2. Here's how my Bible reads. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yes, North Oaks, it is true. We started out in Book of Ezra, chapters number 1-3, and we looked at a portrait of a church united in purpose. Then we moved to Ezra, chapter number 4. Then we delved into the title, Perils of a Church United in Purpose. It's no secret that opposition does come against the children of God. But last week we had an opportunity to share in Haggai, chapter number 1, priorities of a church united in purpose. And here it is. Even on this morning, we close out in the title of our message this morning, part 4, Promises to a Church United in Purpose. Now, last Sunday, we saw the people of God get back to purpose, meaning that after they were confronted with their error, they reordered their disordered views of purpose and progress by realigning their priorities and adjusting their attitudes. And today, as we close out this sermon series, I believe that this passage is written to remind us that a church united in purpose relies on God's promises in order to fulfill this purpose. I think I'll say that again. I believe this morning that this passage is written to remind us, North Oaks, that a church united in purpose relies on God's promises in order to fulfill our purpose. This morning, I just want to share 4 facets. How many facets? I got a listening church. I want to share 4 facets of God's promises that we must embrace to fulfill our purpose. Is anyone interested? Awesome, awesome. Well, the first thing we see when we look at this text, first facet of God's promise is God would have us to know that we should watch through God's eyes. We should watch through God's eyes. In fact, he says, watch through my eyes. North Oaks, and what this speaks to a perspective of God's promise. The right perspective of God's promise. It's right there in chapter number 2, verses 1-3. First of all, Haggai's second prophecy comes just shy of a month from when they restarted the work on the temple. You can confer with Haggai, chapter number 1, verse 15, or you can remember last week's lesson. But North Oaks, I submit to you that the Lord has a word for us this morning. And he begins by raising 3 interrogations. I don't know about y'all, but most people don't like to be interrogated. Well, God's going to interrogate us this morning. He raises 3 questions, and they're right there in verse number 2. First of all, look at chapter number 2, verse 3. Look at the first part of verse 3, verse 3a. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? What that boils down to is there those of the remnant who returned, no doubt there was some who were in there at the very least, their very late 60s, who were carried away, who would have remembered Solomon's glorious temple. And we know that the people of God were carried away at 605 BC, but the temple stood for another some 20 years. We know that it was only in 586 BC. When Jerusalem revolted, that Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed the city of Jerusalem, burnt down the temple in 586 BC. And there are those who were carried away prior who would have made it back right now and would have said, you know, we just laid this foundation and everybody's shouting. If you remember, there were those who were weeping because they remembered the glory of Solomon's temple. And God just puts it out there. He just said, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Not only that, you look at verse chapter number 2, verse 3b, he asks another question. And gosh, those lights are hitting my laptop screen and making it really hard on me. Verse 2, 3b. How do you see it now? How do you see it now? Could you imagine what they thought? Some 16 years of foundation is laid there. Can't you see all the weeds and the grass and the animals that have come through and left their mark? Looking at a foundation that's been abandoned for some 16 years. But then he asks them, does it not seem to you, the literal translation, does it not in your own eyes look like nothing in comparison to what? The grandiose of Solomon's temple. North Oaks, this text would have us to know, don't get caught up in what North Oaks used to be. Oh, Pastor, you in a touchy subject right there. Don't be discouraged because we are small in our own eyes right now. Don't even worry about what the mega churches all around us are doing. How many know that none of our earthly pursuits are worthy of God's presence in the first place? None of our earthly pursuits are worthy of God's presence in the first place. But God himself rejoices at our work here because he will bring it to completion. I like what the prophet Zechariah says in chapter number 4, verses 9 and 10. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Verse 10, for who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the whole earth. It's an amazing thing. God says, I see what you are doing here at North Oaks. And I rejoice. I rejoice at what my people are doing here at North Oaks Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. It's an amazing thing. Beloved, instead of comparing, look at it from a divine perspective. The way God sees this church. See, North Oaks, God sees this church for what this church will be when God brings it to completion. When you look at it that way, I'm going to give you some good news. You get to stand back and say, God, thank you. Thank you for helping me, using me, letting me be a part of what you did. You want to talk about leaving a legacy? Get involved in your church. You want to leave a legacy? Get involved at your church. See, the world has to wonder, when I get done doing all that I do, will it be for naught? We don't have that problem. The Bible says God is rejoicing at what we're going to be because he is going to see it to completion. You know, Pastor, well, you know, we can't do too many boxes. You know, we just a little small church. We can do a few boxes. God, I thank you for suing Joe Woods. You want to see an application in process? There it is right there. They came and sat down with me and they said, Pastor, we'd be so happy We know we're small, but we believe we can do 700 boxes. I said, where do I sign on the line? I want us to do 1,000 boxes. I thank God that we're not looking and saying, we're too small, so we can't do what such and such church or such and such, you know, they got so much space there, they can do it all. And, you know, since we can't do much, we just ain't going to do nothing at all. I thank God that we don't have that church here. Somebody ought to say amen. The first facet of God's promise is we have to watch through God's eyes. Speaks to the perspective of God's promise. But not only that, secondly, we must work in my presence, says God. Work in my presence. And this speaks to the comfort of God's promise. I tell you what, man makes me promises all the time, and I don't find any comfort in it. So I thank God that we can find comfort in his promise. Beloved, God thrice commands us to take charge. It's right there in verse number 4, chapter 2, verse 4, A, B, and C. Look at what it says there, three times. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the people of the land. Take courage. Three times God tells us to take courage. Why? Because we remember that their enemies cannot stand to see the people of God united in purpose, building anything. You want to know? Well, Pastor, I don't believe I have any enemies. Guess what? Yes, you do. You got enemies because we're building something here. Do not be surprised. Do not be surprised when folk talk to you any kind of way. Do not be surprised when folk want to be threatening because they see that you are moving in the purpose of God. And don't be united. They really don't like to see that. A pastor, I see we're supposed to have courage, but where are we supposed to find this courage? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm so glad you asked that question. It's an amazing thing. God commands us to work because his spirit is with us. Look at that last part of verse 4D. The high priest and to all the people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. That's good news. Listen, family, this is God's response after 16 years of weeds, of rain, of dust. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, those times where I was cutting up at school and I knew I was in trouble, I stayed far away from my mama when I got out of school. When she came home, especially if I know my teacher had called her when I was at school, she said, "We going to the principal's office." And she called my mama, and my mama said, "Hand him the phone." I really didn't want that phone, but I didn't have no choice. I had to hear it. She said, "I'm going to see you when I get home." Boy, I tell you, when I got home, I cleaned up everything I could. Last thing I wanted to do was confront Christine Edwards when I got home, because I know she had some for me. But here it is. God is saying, in spite of 16 years of doing nothing, I'm still with you. You know, my parents, they raised me in the church, but you know how it is. I got out there to college and I just kind of strayed away from the Lord. And you don't much want to listen to me. God says, I'm still with you. But who wouldn't? Amen. That's a good place to clap. If you cut up in college, that's a good place to clap. So what?
Work today like God is with you. He never left you. It's an amazing thing. We find courage in God's presence that grants us a certain comfort that the world can't take from us.
I love the way David puts it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's presence grants us a certain amount of comfort that this world can't provide. That makes me smile. But I tell you what, I probably would have been in trouble earlier this week. Four facets of God's promise not only must be, God says, wash through my eyes. God says, work in my presence. But then thirdly, God says, walk in my character. God says, walk in my character. And what this speaks to, Mike, this speaks to the consistency of God. I'll tell you right now, if there's one thing that irks me, and you can hear it right now, if there's one thing that irks me, it's inconsistent. I don't have that problem with my God. We serve a consistent God. Northos, God reminds us to stay calm. Look to his immutable, unchanging nature as the source of our composure. It's right there in chapter 2, verse 5. The first part of verse 5. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt. God went way back. As for the promise I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Family, God's plans for us have not changed. Pray God's plans for us in this church have not changed. We don't serve a God that when we're doing good, he gives us good plans. And then when we start doing bad, the plans turn bad. Look at what he says there. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. Now you know the question. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. It's an amazing thing, beloved. The Lord has remained consistent in his message to us. Only through his spirit will we accomplish our work. So do not fear man. It's right there in the second part of verse 5. My spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Like the way Zechariah put it, chapter number 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you something. If it was up to Pastor Orr to get this church where God is going to take us, everybody in here got good reason to cry. If I thought for one second that it was up to me to get us where we need to be, we'd be in trouble. serving God with this job. Not only does God remind us to watch his eyes, speaks to the right perspective of God's promise. Work in my presence speaks to the comfort of God's promise. Walk in my character, the consistency of God's promise. But fourthly and finally, God says, worship before my son. And that speaks to the peace of God's promise. Beloved, the Lord promises to one day shake the nations. Read it there in our responsive reading. The Lord promises to one day shake the nations or to judge angels and men so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. It's right there in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land. I will shake all the nations. I think I'll read my response to you. Chris, thank you so much. Thank you so much for leading us. It fits good right here. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape, who refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. Let me give you the breakdown. If Noah, if Moses, if Elijah, you pick a prophet, when they spoke the word of God to the people of God and they didn't listen, God dealt with them. How much more is he going to deal with us when God speaks to us from heaven? If he didn't let you make it when the prophet spoke, what chance do you think you stand of God? God is speaking to us through his son who is in heaven. Look at verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he is promising, yet, there's the quotation. There's the quotation. Here in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews is quoting Haggai chapter number 2. Here it is. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. God says, I'm going to judge angels and men. This expression, yes, once more, denotes removing those things which can be shaken as a created thing so that those things which cannot be shaken remain. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Look at verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Not only has God promised to shake the nations, but God promised to fill this temple with glory. Right in the second part of verse 7. And they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Let me paint the picture for you. And I'm in my seat. Remember how God opened up? How many of y'all saw the first in all the stories? What you see now? Isn't it almost in comparison to Solomon? And here it is, God promises to fill this temple with glory. This is the temple, the foundation for 16 years. This is the temple that my son will enter. Look around to your left and to your right. Now, if you look with your spiritual eyes, already promised. There he is again. This is the temple that his son has entered. I don't care nothing about what they got going down the road. My name is here. My work is here. God rejoices, North Oak, at the work that we do right here. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. You remember this verse was a little difficult dealing with this because it deals with it like the future, but it also deals with the ultimate future. And it's interesting. Not only does it point forward, y'all remember Simeon. The Lord had said, Simeon, I ain't going to take you home until you can see my glory. Right about the eighth day. Baby Jesus hadn't been named yet. They brought him to the temple to be circumcised. This temple that Zerubbabel is building right here, Jesus entered that temple. And Simeon walked over to that baby and held him up and said, God, I'm ready to go because I done seen your glory. I got goosebumps under the sea. I got to go. God entered that temple, but it also looks forward to Ezekiel, his temple vision. I am God. Jesus on his throne. We got good reason to be excited about what God is doing here. North folks, when it comes to his glory, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. Look right there, verses 8 and 9a. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. The latter glory is going to be greater than the former glory. But come here, Solomon. I like what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. Look what Jesus said. The queen of the south, queen of the south, will rise up with this generation at judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Here's what God is saying. Don't worry about what North Oaks used to be. Don't worry about, oh, we seem small in our own eyes. A greater than God says, I'm here. My son is here. And I rejoice. Get back to work. Stay working. Keep working. Complete the task that God has called us. Let me tell you something. If I'm here, you're going to keep working. Or you're going to watch me work by myself. Either you're going to join with me and work or you're going to watch me work. But I can tell you one thing that ain't going to happen. I ain't going to do that. I got a sneaky feeling when I quit working, I'm going to get called home. Somebody knows. God knows that this church sees Jesus as our everything. God knows it's only in our nature to ask, is Jesus in heaven? Jesus not coming back yet? Send me to let you to know, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is here. He's here. Let me give you this. A worship before my son speaks to the peace of God's promise. Look at the way Isaiah said it. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we don't have to be ashamed of small beginnings.
Who has despised small things?
Father God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you.
We want to do our best to make you rejoice even harder at the work we're doing in this little church, North Oak Baptist Church. May all that we do be done.
These prayers are asking that I'm saying Jesus' name. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that
and right now
thy
is that most reverent
shed for me, and that thou bidst
me. We're gonna get this right sooner or later. Bring it down a little bit more. Now is that most reverent time, North Oaks. As I stand before you today, I want to open the doors of this church and invite any individual that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. And what I mean by that, bring all of your trash. Today you don't have to get it right. That's not the God we serve. He says, bring your trash to me, and I'll take your trash to the cross. And not only will I take your trash to the cross, but I'll give you in return my perfect righteousness, that you can stand before God blameless and holy. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, satisfied the wrath of God by perfectly keeping the law and taking my becoming a propitiation, being my substitute. And any person who would look to him will find him to be a perfect Savior. And he stands here as I represent with arms wide open to welcome any rebel sinner back home. But not only that, if you know the Lord, he is your Savior. You trusted him, the divine garbage collector, if you will, to take your trash. You've received his perfect righteousness and said, I want to be a part of a church where the word of God is being preached, where God can be proud of the work I'm doing. I want to come alongside people like Sue and Joe Woods and know that I'm making the difference in the kingdom. You come. You come, this church will welcome you. I'll tell you all the things that's going on in the life of this church. And then if you would just like prayer, I pray that you will come right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for touching the hearts of your people right now, that they may have the courage to come with your presence, to come with what you give them, like in the name of Jesus. Amen. One more. I got it. All right. Got it. No apologies, Steve. What I want you to do, Steve, I want you to go over here and talk to Dave. He's going to get you some paperwork right here. Look, let me explain to you right now. And the doors are still open. We got plenty of more room. It's a lot of space up here. Steve Baker has said, I'm coming to join church today. He said, but my wife couldn't make it here because she had to work. He said, guess what? She's coming back tonight and she's going to join.
Amen.
Amen. And he says, I'm coming right now before the church body on behalf of my wife to represent that my family is raising a flag for Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that's a good place to clap.
Amen.
Oh, come on. The Bible says that the angels rejoice. You going to let the angels out praise you? Y'all gonna let the angels out pray? No, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. It's like music to my ears. I know it's a sweet savor to the nose of our Savior. God is doing great things in this place. Ellie, I don't hear you singing anymore. You're coming, brother.
Okay.
They might
just
think it's time up. You still got time.
As I am without one plea. but that thy blood was
thankless. Amen, family. I'm going to ask that after we sing our last song, benediction song, that the elders will bring these candidates of the membership board, and that they will stand right there. And please go be. Please come by and give a welcoming handshake to these who have come as a membership to our church today. Let's give God one more round of applause. Amen. As you can see, as you're joining with us online, however you're getting this media, God is working in this place. And I ask the pastor here in North Oak, want you to know that you are very much a part of what you're doing. And if you're in the Houston area, Spring to be exact, do me a favor. When you come, I want you to come up to me because I want to personally welcome you to the life of our church. Thank you, friend. I love pastoring this church, North Oak, because here at North Oak, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Thank you.